that 11th of September of 1973 changed the course of our history. In a week, the Congress was closed, the press was eliminated, we couldn't meet with people, we had a curfew, unions were banned, the people in the previous government were put in prison, and a terrible killing took place. The prisons were not enough. They created concentration camps from north to south. It was a bloody, bloody coup.
Over 3,200 Chileans died or disappeared during the military coup and in its aftermath. Tens of thousands were imprisoned. Santiago's stadiums that had seen the joy of sport and spectacle became notorious torture chambers where bodies were carted out by the hundreds. And the early morning saw corpses outside the stadium walls of those who had jumped to their deaths rather than face the misery inside. The military unleashed a repression so fierce that it defied analysis. What could have Allende's presidency represented to the Chilean right wing, the armed forces and their backers in the United States, to warrant such a brutal response? Ariel Dorfman, Chilean author and human rights activist.
Chile was trying an experiment which was path-breaking in the history of humanity. And I'm trying to say this without any sort of Chile-centrism in that sense, because we have a tendency towards that, we Chilenos, to think that we're the center of history. But for a couple of years, we were, in some sense, or the center of history passed through Santiago, because what we were trying to do and to prove is that you could make structural changes in social justice and economic justice, and at the same time, not only maintain, but deepen the democratic forms of government and participation.
Isabel Allende.
I think that there are many people who would describe the time previous to the coup as creative chaos. It was a time of disorder, in which things were emerging from the bottom of the society. An incredible amount of creativity. It was like a renaissance of all the arts and qualities of living at the same time.
Mire cómo nos hablan de libertad cuando ella nos pidan en realidad. Mire cómo pejonan tranquilidad cuando nos atormenta autoridad.
The military and the conservatives claimed that to save the country from itself, they had to stop the Allende government and the social experiment it had put into motion. But just 9 months earlier, Salvador Allende, in a speech before the United Nations, warned of the impending attack against his government.
Vengo de Chile.
I come from Chile, a small country. But one where
pero
citizens
donde hoy
are
cualquier ciudadano es libre de expresarse
fit.
Como mejor prefiera.
Chile, he said, would establish an economic democracy in which its own natural resources would benefit Chileans, beginning with the country's rich copper reserves.
Hemos nacionalizado las riquezas básicas.
We have nationalized our basic resources. We have nationalized copper. We have done so by a unanimous decision of Parliament, in which the government parties are in the minority. We want everybody to understand this clearly. We have not confiscated the great foreign copper mining companies.
De la gran minería del cobre.
At the time, President Allende and others were denouncing a destabilization campaign coordinated and financed with millions of U.S. dollars. A destabilization that was meant to discredit the popular unity government, destroy its base of support, and maintain a political environment friendly to the presence of transnational corporations, regardless of the cost. René Castro, who was an artist, a student leader, and teacher at the time of the coup, recalls the optimism of the left in the face of increasing intolerance by conservative political parties and the media.
We really believe that we can build a better society with a social experiment. Most of the people in Chile believe that. Some people were more reluctant to accept that as an idea, a political idea, but we all saw that. We can change the world and we can become a socialist country and have more equality for everybody. It was key things: work, housing, dignity, health. You asking for those things in the country, you were part of the left, labeled as a communist or socialist.
As the destabilization campaign mounted through 1972 into 1973, U.S. officials publicly denied any involvement. In 1974, then Secretary of State Henry Kissinger testified before the U.S. Congress.
And our concern was with the election in 1976, and not at all with a coup in 1973 about which we knew nothing and with which we had nothing to do, as I testified to in 1973 and as the President reaffirmed.
Investigations by the U.S. Congress would reveal quite a different story as proof of the U.S. complicity and financing of the bloody coup emerged. Senator Frank Church, in congressional hearings on September 19, 1974, questioned Henry Kissinger.
I would like the Secretary to tell me how we could reconcile this kind of an intervention with the moral law that we're supposed to respect, with treaty law, with international law, or with any law other than the law of the jungle.
All of the matters to which you refer have been developed by well-established procedures in the government that have been consistently tightened, approved by the President, and briefed to the appropriate committees. This doesn't make them right.
It makes it all the more appalling to me, Mr. Secretary.
Now, what was the threat?
Isabel Letelier.
The nationalization of the copper minings that Allende did, anyway. According to Nixon and Kissinger, it was that Cuba was there in the Caribbean and Chile was in the south, and they were going to get together and have this big hamburger with a lot of ketchup.
If Allende should win the election in Chile.
Former U.S. President Richard Nixon speaking in 1977.
And then you have Castro in Cuba. What you will in effect have in Latin America is a red sandwich. And eventually, it'll all be red.
Ariel Dorfman.
I think that Chile was a model for the world in some sense. And if we had been successful, this would have been a form of change, profoundly social changes of democratic nature, justice, economic sovereignty, and national liberation.
This problem was the problem that Nixon and Kissinger faced.
René Castro.
Can we allow this to happen? Obviously not. So immediately after Allende was elected, they put a red flag. They said, we can't permit this to happen.
El imperialismo y su crueldad.
President Salvador Allende addressing the United Nations.
Tienen un largo y ominoso historial.
Imperialism and its cruelties have had a long and ominous history in Latin America. We are witnessing a pitched battle between the sovereign states and the great transnational corporations, worldwide organizations which are not accountable to or regulated by any parliament or institution representing the collective interest. In a word, the entire political structure of the world is being undermined. Merchants have no country of their own. Wherever they may be, they have no ties with the soil. All they are interested in is in the source of their profits. Those are not my words. They were spoken by President Thomas Jefferson.
El 4 de septiembre de 1970, estamos afectados por el desarrollo de una presión externa de gran envergadura que pretendió impedir la instalación de un gobierno libremente elegido por el pueblo y derrocarlo desde entonces.
The punishment for Chile was a really particular one from the State Department. For that reason, they get so involved. And historically, we all know that Kissinger was particularly involved in the Chilean case.
Where the age-old antagonism between freedom and tyranny is concerned, we are not neutral.
So it was a clear message. Any attempt to elect a leftist, this is what to happen. It will happen, something like happened in Chile. For that reason, the Chile experience, it was so bloody.
The destruction was, I think, a strategic thing from the point of view both of the United States, that mouthed that it was for democracy, but wherever democracy would appear against its interest, it would destroy it, such as it had done in Guatemala, or had done a few years before in the Dominican Republic, or had done in Brazil. But in the case of Chile, of course, it was a much more important strategic problem there. And also from the point of view of those who control the land and the resources of Chile, who really are just a very, very small proportion of the population. And so I think it was strategically important for them to destroy Allende and destroy him, not in a democratic election, because they could have waited a few years. Instead, they decided to carry out an exemplary, bloody, and you know, I hate these words, bloody, but it's really, really true in that sense, a very pain-racking form of a repressive society. And then they brought into bearing the shock therapy form, which was the neoliberal form of economic policies in Latin America.
Isabel Allende.
And then in 24 hours, we had order. The order of the camp. The non-created star order. To give you an example of what would happen to the wall. The wall that before was painted with the creative murals of the leftist youth. And the next day it was whitewashed with a soldier standing in front. So that is for me the image of the before and after.